Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Monday's episode of the North Shore Drive podcast, and the Pittsburgh Steelers did not play the Buffalo Bills on Sunday. They play them Monday at 4:30. We get you updated with all the changes here in the North Shore Drive podcast from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Chris Carter, Brian Batko, let's get into it.
You are now listening to the North Shore Drive podcast, a show on all things Pittsburgh sports from the writers of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, hosted by Christopher Carter.
Hello, welcome to the North Shore Drive podcast from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. I'm your host, Chris Carter, here with Brian Batko, one of our Steve Steelers beat writers. We're here breaking all things down for you on the Pittsburgh Steelers as they get ready to play the Buffalo Bills. Now, 4:30 p.m. Eastern time, Monday, in their game. We'll talk about all of the things that have happened that have pushed this game back and how that could impact the outcome of the game here. But first, I want to remind you, this show is brought to you by Mike's Beer Bar, the best bar in all of Pittsburgh. Go down to Mike's Beer Bar. They're on Federal Street, right across the street from PNC Park, and you can go down there, sample one of their 500 different available beers. 300 of those beers are local, and 80 of those local beers are available on tap. We'll have more on Mike's Beer Bar in a minute. Brian, you are not in Buffalo right now. If all had happened as planned, you'd either be writing an end-of-season story or writing about how the Steelers are headed to Baltimore. But here we are. Can you explain to us just kind of where everything sits now that we do know the game is going to be played Monday?
Yeah, well, my laptop still sits in my office at home. My mic still sits here. My lamp is still here. My college basketball fantasy league championship banner is still here. But no, I mean, to answer your question, Chris, the PG Steelers beat writer car of Jerry Dulac, Ray Fittipaldo, and myself was on the road at, I think we left at 11 a.m. on Saturday. So kind of a gift and a curse. Had we left any earlier, probably would have been in Buffalo when the announcement was made. Had we left any later, had we decided to leave later, that would have been nice. We wouldn't have made it to Meadville / Conneaut area, but that's where we were when the governor called down the announcement. So we said, all right, I'm not going to sit in Buffalo for 48 hours. We'll head back home. I was able to go to my son's birthday party Saturday, which was great. That's kind of divine intervention there, but here we are. We're going to head back up. Probably as you're watching or listening to this, we are driving in the car. Knock on wood, no snow issues. But yeah, I mean, it's wild how this all turned out, for sure. I think everybody, player, coach, fan, media, probably would have liked this announcement to come a little sooner with a little bit more of a heads up than 24 hours and change before the game. In retrospect, you know, it seemed like a crazy rumor on Friday, but maybe they should have moved this game out of Buffalo.
Maybe.
I know Cleveland was thrown out by somebody here in Pittsburgh. I think somebody else reported that Atlanta was floated as a possibility.
There
I don't
were a
know
lot
how,
of different things that were.
Being I don't know floated. How far that got up the flagpole, but I mean, hey, you just think of all the logistics that have gone into this and how both teams have been sort of on the edge, on the pins and needles, minute to minute, hour to hour, from Saturday to Sunday. And I know the Bills wouldn't want to lose a home playoff game. You fight all season for that. You beat the Dolphins in week 18 to lock that up. But, you know, it's also for seeding. And now whoever wins this game, whether it's the heavily favored 2 seed or the long shot underdog 7 seed, you're going to have one less day of rest to go play either the Ravens in Baltimore, who've been sitting for 2 weeks in the Steelers case, or, I forget who would the Bills play again if they
if the Bills play
the Texans,
they would play
right? excuse me, the Chiefs. Yeah,
they play the Chiefs because so, it'd be the 2 and 3 seed.
Right. So you're gonna play, you know, a Chiefs team that has 2 extra days of rest on you. So it's not ideal from any standpoint. To me, if you're the Bills, would you rather make sure you play this game in front of Bills Mafia at Highmark Stadium? Or if you're, you know, what we're seeing, I think, from a lot of Bills fans on social media, you're so confident you're going to beat the Steelers, then why did you absolutely need to play them at your stadium? It's been a pretty fascinating, you know, view of all of it from that standpoint. It's got me asking questions and questioning everything I know about the NFL. Should this season end earlier in the calendar year to avoid weather issues? Should they move playoff games to neutral sites at least more often? I'm just asking questions here, Chris, but it's been a pretty crazy case study here with the Bills in the first round of the playoffs.
It has been. And there were some Steelers fans that are like, why are the Steelers always getting dogged out by the NFL's reschedules? It's like, okay, let's clear some things. It wasn't necessarily for the play on the field that things were moved. It was moved because those were just undrivable situations. You couldn't get to the stadium as it was on Sunday. People were going to be putting themselves in harm's way to drive through that mess. Not only was it the 3 feet of snow that they were dealing with, but that combined with winds that were getting up to 50 miles per hour, that's untenable. You can't work with that. But this update now, both teams don't get anybody back from their injuries. This update now does give these teams to play in some situation, some weather that's not going to be as crazy. According to weather.com, as it stands right now, the winds are supposed to get up to 15 miles per hour. And there's still a 50% chance of snow with an extra 1 to 3 inches coming instead of 1 to 3 feet coming in a day. I know some people might be thinking, well, that's just going to make things easier for Josh Allen. But at the same time, like, those are still like not like great throwing weather situations there. This can still be a hard fought game that's going to be on the ground and maybe not won as much in the air.
Yeah, it's still going to have some wonkiness to it, probably. I mean, I even just watching the Chiefs Dolphins on Saturday night. I don't know about you, Chris, but I thought, at least from the get-go, Patrick Mahomes' ball wasn't coming out of his hand quite as naturally as it usually does. Mm-hmm. How can it in negative temps? So, yeah, it's not going to be a 70 and sunny type of game. But, yeah, I do think this plays into the Dolphins' hands a little – or, excuse me, into the Bills' hands a little bit more, simply from the standpoint of any underdog is probably better suited to spring an upset when there's more – when there's less predictability. And the weather from Sunday to Monday in Orchard Park, New York, has gone from slightly less predictable to what it'll be. So, or slightly more predictable. It's not going to be as just ridiculous from kickoff to the end of the game. So, does it help the Bills? Maybe a little bit, but I'm one person who is still picking them to beat the Steelers anyway. And I don't know. I guess you would be the one. The onus would be on you, Carter, if you want to change your prediction, if you were really banking on Najee Harris running through mounds of snow as the edge for the Steelers in this game.
I still think the Steelers have the same kind of advantage. You go back to that 2016 game where they played the Bills, and everyone remembers Le'Veon Bell playing through the snow and how the wind was kicking up in that game. The wind in that game was just 9 miles per hour. This is still going to be 15 miles per hour winds. As Warren Sharp was pointing out, like 14 mile per hour winds are crazy for football weather. And that's also a stadium where the wind is whipping because there's no protection from it. It's part of kind of what they've made to be their home field advantage, something that the Bills are ready for. So that's going to be interesting to see. I still think that plays into it. We'll talk more about this matchup in our last segment. But first, in our next segment, I want to talk about what happened in the other playoff games in the AFC, because the slate that's been set up here could be very interesting to see where the power does shift this year as we look at the other teams that are still in the playoffs. And if the Steelers were to win, what they'd have to do the rest of the way. All that and more here on the North Shore Drive podcast here from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Chris Carter, Brian Batko. But first, I want to remind you, this show is brought to you by Mike's Beer Bar, the best bar in all of Pittsburgh. When you get down to Mike's Beer Bar, they're on the North Shore, right across the street from PNC Park on Federal Street. You can go there, try one of their 500 different available beers, 300 of those beers from the local area, and 80 of those local beers are available on tap. You can try new ones every single week, because every single week they're subbing new ones in and out all the time. Trust me, you'll never run out of favorites because I never do, and I'm always there. You can also try out their steak on a stone meal, which is their awesome. You bring out your choice cut of steak brought to you on a heated stone, and you can cut the steak and press each piece that you cut into the stone, and you can choose how well done you want each bite of your steak. It's an amazing time. Go to Mike's Beer Bar, where they also have over 20 televisions. So if you're a person listening to this and you're thinking, where can I watch the game, maybe around some other Steelers fans, that you can go to Mike's Beer Bar. They'll have on the Steelers game as well as all other contests. Heck, if you want to do a double header and watch the Penguins game and then the Steelers game, you can do all of that at Mike's Beer Bar. Go to Mike's Beer Bar, the best bar in Pittsburgh. When you get there, tell them Chris sent you.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
We're back here in the North Shore Drive podcast. Chris Carter, Brian Batko, Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Brian, we are recording this in the middle of the Packers Cowboys game, which is looking like a shellacking on the hands of by the hands of the Packers. They are just giving it to the Cowboys 34-10 as we record this. This would be the third straight game that was pretty much a complete domination and one-sided football game. The Texans opened up the weekend. At first, it looked kind of interesting back and forth, but then they laid the smacketh down upon the Browns, beating them 45-14. The Chiefs beating the Dolphins 26-7. And as I said, 34-10 right now, Packers to Cowboys. The Lions and Rams are supposed to duke it out later this evening.
Maybe by the time people are watching this, there's been the most incredible comeback in NFL history.
Maybe that would be incredible, but I highly doubt it. But in all seriousness, let's talk about the AFC playoffs right now. The Browns were one of the hottest things in football going into the playoffs. They rested their players to give them a week off last week, and then they got shellacked. Do you think the Texans could be now the dark horse in the AFC that could make a run here with how well CJ Stroud's playing?
No, I don't think so. I give them credit for beating a Browns team that, like you said, Chris, came in with a lot of kind of juice on their side. I thought they were going to beat Houston. I thought it would be close, but I thought the Browns were going to pull that out. Still, though, Cleveland was playing with a Joe Flacco that was sort of waiting for the clock to strike midnight on him, I think, in this mini rejuvenation. They were at home. Browns didn't have Grant Delpit at safety. You know, I was watching the one of my favorite things, honestly, in football is when the game's on NBC and they do the little heads pop up and they say their name and their score, King of the North in the case of Joey Porter Jr. But when I saw DeAnthony Bell pop up at safety for the Browns, I was like, who the heck is that? And I was like, what is going on here? So they weren't at 100% in the secondary. Even as somebody who covers the AFC North as closely as I do, I'd never heard of DeAnthony Bell. He was filling in for Delpit. So they were not completely at 100%. That's why they had not been playing quite as well lately. I still kind of thought Jim Schwartz would cook up something. Myles Garrett would wreck the game. Neither of that happened. Bobby Slowick put on a clinic. If he wasn't in line for a head coaching job next season before that game, wonder if he moved up some owner and GM lists, even though he's only got 1 year as a coordinator under his belt. So all that being said, props to D'Amico Ryans, props to C.J. Stroud, props to Bobby Slowick, their offensive coordinator, all the playmakers, really, who came through in that game. Left tackle Laremy Tunsil, give him a shout-out as well, sending Myles Garrett into witness protection. But I think, the road gets harder in these AFC playoffs. To me,
it does.
To me, it going into this bracket, I thought it was going to be Ravens, Bills, or Chiefs probably coming out of it. Had the Dolphins been healthy, I would have given them a puncher's chance. But I think the Bills are going to beat Steelers. So I'm not changing that prediction. My 24-18 call is suddenly looking more realistic with this weather alteration up in Buffalo. But I think the Ravens will probably handle the Texans at home.
I think it's going to be interesting to see how things play out for sure.
And if they do play Kansas City in KC, I'd like the Chiefs in Arrowhead against even a red hot Texans team.
That's a tough road environment. We saw how the Browns were a team that were completely different on the road. They were, quote unquote, the best defense in football. And then you saw that they were giving up 30 points a game when they were on the road. And then they got destroyed, even worse than the Steelers did earlier in the season when they played the Texans. I want to ask you this. Do you think that the way that the Cowboys right now, their defense is being handled by Jordan Love, and the way that the Browns were handled by CJ Stroud, do you think that impacts the Defensive Player of the Year conversation at all? Well, normally it's a regular season award, but many people have known all years, like, postseason play does impact voters' minds.
Yeah, I'm not entirely sure. Do you know when the AP votes on that, Chris? Because obviously they've already done their All-Pro ballots.
Right, they've done their All-Pro. So, I believe it's supposed to still happen. I'm not 100% sure. Maybe it has already happened. Maybe this is a moot point.
Because I was going
to
say, yeah, it could be a moot point if they've already turned. I know personally for the I vote for the Pro Football Writers of America awards, and I don't think that I don't know when the deadline was, but me being the punctual person that I am, I did it right away. So it was like pretty much right after the regular season ended. Obviously, I didn't plan or care to factor in any postseason results for those regular season awards. So, yeah, I don't know. I think regardless of how the awards shake out, there's a little bit of a national discussion to be had about Myles Garrett didn't do much to help his team in a playoff game. However, I would caution all the Steelers and TJ Watt fans of putting too much stock into that, because it's not like number 90 in black and gold has done a ton in his playoff opportunities either. Big scoop and score last year against the Chiefs, notwithstanding, you know, his playoff numbers aren't great, has not won a playoff game. So, you know, you kind of got to keep it locked on the regular season output for awards such as that. But I get it. I voted TJ for Defensive Player of the Year over Myles Garrett and Micah Parsons. I don't know if he's going to win the AP balloting. But, yeah, if you're somebody who just wants to argue until you're blue in the face about it in favor of your guy, congrats. You've got another data point in getting taken to the wood chipper by the Texans.
I hear that. I wanted to point something out. This, you know, all season, all week long, I was saying the Steelers had a chance to be the first ever seventh seed to win a game in the playoffs. If all things hold here, the Packers will be the first team.
I was going to say they're not the Steelers will not be the first seventh seed to win a game in the NFL playoffs because the Dallas Cowboys exist.
I mean, that's going to be a very interesting situation with Mike McCarthy there. But
you know, hey, Mike Tomlin grew up a Cowboys fan.
Oh, here we go, Brian. You're going to be starting stuff here on the North Shore Drive podcast. Okay, last thoughts here. The Chiefs, the way that they beat the Dolphins, granted the Dolphins, you know, were really banged up team, and that was a crazy environment where like water bottles were freezing in seconds if in that stadium. Are the Chiefs still a team, or still the team that can run the AFC with the team that they have right now, especially with that defense?
Yeah, not just the water bottle, but I saw the Mick Ultra can was foaming up too. You know, if you drink Mick Ultra, they probably have that at Mike's Beer Bar, but I would recommend going down to get something a little bit better than that. Just my own personal taste, but I think the Chiefs can absolutely snap into playoff Pat Kelsey. I mean, he had another rough game, but I think they can still be the dominant team that we've seen from them in January and early February at times when they get to the big game. So yeah, I mean, if they can keep Mahomes' helmet in one piece and get some, you know, some more reliable, you know, playmaking out of their pass catchers, I like their chances. Isaiah Pacheco looked like a problem to deal with once again in that Dolphins game. Their defense always seems to come alive this time of year, Chris. So at least enough to get the job done. Legarius Sneed is a corner who I probably underrated throughout the course of this season, and yet he just continues to put the straps on people. Tyreek Hill got, you know, open for a deep one early on in that game, and even he, you know, didn't have the mojo to keep that going. So I am not counting out the Chiefs, probably still rolling with the Ravens as my pick to make it out of the AFC, but the Chiefs are the Chiefs are for real. So I'm kind of 50-50 between those two. Maybe we'll be singing a different tune if the Bills come out today and lay waste to the Steelers and look very impressive doing so.
We'll get more back to this game, back to this Bills Steelers game. Some final thoughts here from both of us as we look ahead of things here on the North Shore Drive podcast for the Pittsburgh Post Gazette. But first, I want to remind you this show is also brought to you by Savinus Kane and Gallucci, mesothelin and asbestos lawyers with over 85 years of experience. Call them now for a free consultation. That's Savinus Kane and Gallucci. We're also brought to you by GameTime.co. Where buying tickets to your favorite events shouldn't be stressful, because GameTime is the app that you can download right on your phone to make buying tickets a fast and easy process for all your sports, music, comedy, and theater events near you. If you ever had to buy tickets for an event, you're running out of time, guess what? Game Time is here to help. You can go to their website, GameTime.co, or download the Game Time app right to your phone. And when you do, you'll see all the tickets available for whatever event that you're looking up, and that you can see not only the best prices, but the best seats available. It allows you to review each seat view from the app itself. Game Time is the app you have to download if you want to take advantage of that for the best prices. And they guarantee you the best prices. If you find tickets to the same event in the same section and row for less somewhere else, Game Time credits you 110% of the difference of those prices. Snap the tickets without the stress with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use code PITTPIT for $20 off your first purchase, or go to the website GameTime.co. Terms and conditions apply. Create an account, redeem code PITTPIT for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. Back here in the North Shore Drive podcast, Chris Carter, Brian Batko. Brian, we have previewed this game out the wazoo, for lack of a better term. We have done a lot of looks here, but there's always chances to look back at stuff. And if there's anything we missed, is there an angle to this game that you think could play a big factor that we might not have talked enough about this week in this upcoming matchup?
Yeah, I think on Friday's show, we pretty much got into the Joey Porter Jr., Stephon Diggs battle, which you then ended up writing about with some film work for the PG website. People should go check that out if they haven't. We got into Nick Herbig / Marcus Golden and how they can potentially impact in place of TJ Watt. Maybe we gave short shrift to the Bills tight ends, especially now that Josh Allen might be able to actually see them running down the field in the weather in Buffalo. I'm just looking at videos and photos from people who were up there on Sunday. Like, I don't know how either quarterback would have had any visibility down the field to throw the ball. So that hopefully will not be as much of an issue, because that, well, maybe for the Steelers, you'd hope that would have been an issue, because it would have pretty much been our run game versus your run game. So now at this point, I think it's an even bigger challenge for the Steelers to deal with Dalton Kincaid and Dawson Knox. I mean, I remember watching Kincaid in the preseason. I didn't really follow the tight ends too much in this draft, because I figured the Steelers wouldn't be picking one. Darnell Washington was sort of his own beast. And, you know, I did look into him, and as we know, the Steelers ended up taking him in the third round. But the traditional tight ends, the prototype pass catchers with Pat Freiermuth and Connor Hayward on the roster, didn't dive much into them pre-draft. But once I saw Kincaid lining up at Acrisure Stadium for the Bills in that preseason game, I'm like, man, I get it now. I see why he was a first round dude. I mean, he runs like a receiver with the size of a tight end. I ended up picking him up at fantasy at one point this year, and, you know, he wasn't super consistent. I think he had an injury at times too, maybe, but I mean, for a while there, he was putting together a string of solid performances in a row. And it just goes to show that I think they call him, they call it 11 and a half personnel when he's out there with Dawson Knox, because he's such a good receiving threat. He's half tight end, half wide out. I'll just be curious to see how the Steelers choose to deal with that. If they're able to deal with that, Minka Fitzpatrick being back helps. And he said he's 110%. But I think we all know, I'm not sure how much the linebacker core is really going to be able to help you. Mike Walker, skill set, size-wise, athleticism-wise, might have the best chance. Otherwise, you're going to be relying on an Elandon Roberts who's not 100% and not the biggest guy to begin with, although his coverage has been probably better than advertised for much of this season. Or Miles Jack, who he's in week four of playing now, but I think at this stage of his career, you're kind of relying on him to make the sound plays more than the dynamic plays, trailing a tight end or something like that over the middle. So that's an area where I think you really need to watch Josh Allen peppering Dawson and Dalton over the middle and potentially exploiting the Steelers that way, even if Joey Porter Jr. can minimize Stephon Diggs' impact on the game.
Yeah, that's where I'm looking at too, is the tight end position for the Bills, because
they don't have Gabe Davis. So despite the extra day, doesn't sound like they're going to get Gabe Davis back from that PCL injury. So yeah, your wideouts are Diggs, Khalil Shakir, and Trent Sherfield, who had the big touchdown catch off the tip. But I don't think you pay quite as much defensive mind to Shakir and Sherfield as you would Davis if he were in there.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a big question. Who do you assign to help with the tight ends? Because if Minka Fitzpatrick back, you can certainly put him with Dalton Kincaid and think, okay, he'll help. But you like to have Minka Fitzpatrick as your center fielder. And that's when in past years, he's created a lot of interceptions. He doesn't have one this year. That's where I think there could be an interesting matchup there. But certainly big questions for the Steelers on how they want to take on tight ends. I agree.
Been solid, but I think he's been more of a disruptor than somebody that you're like, hey, go one-on-one match with this tight end and, you know, get the job done. Now, I think he's been more of opportunistic takeaway guy than that point.
I think one thing that Mike Tomlin often says is it's going to be a teamwork effort to do these things. You know, talking about, you know, often he says that about, you know, it's going to take everybody to replace, you know, whoever's hurt on a certain week, you know, and he's going to say that about TJ Watt. But with this job, I think this job to stop the Bills tight ends as well as Stephon Diggs, it's bigger than just anyone lining up with them. It's going to take a really good game plan from Terrell Austin, from this whole team to be organized, to confuse Josh Allen, to force him to make some mistakes, because there's going to be those moments, I think, where the Steelers are able to line up in a certain look and get Josh Allen to think it's one thing and pounce another. If they can create several situations like that, where they force bad passes, get chances of interceptions, that might be the best way to neutralize tight ends, instead of just saying, hey, man-to-man, you're lining up with him, you're running with him, let's go. I think it's got to come down to their ability to disguise coverages, how they play zone defense, and what'll we caught.
Yeah, and hey, I guess we haven't really mentioned, we'll finish it out with this. We're talking a lot about how this delay in the game, the postponement, will help Josh Allen throw the ball better. This might help Mason Rudolph and the Steelers throw the ball better too.
Agreed.
You know, George Pickens and Deontay Johnson, Rasul Douglas is a corner who will have an extra day of rest and recovery for the Bills. He's been really good since they scooped him up at the trade deadline. But I still have my doubts about the guys on the other side, whether that's Christian Benford or Dane Jackson. That's going to be a matchup where maybe the Steelers can exploit them on the outside.
You talked about that in our Friday show, saying that, man, the Steelers not being able to take advantage of that with the crazy weather would have been something the Steelers could have used in their favor. And I think that's one thing people are overlooking. As much as everyone's wondering about Josh Allen and his passing offense, what about the Steelers' ability to throw the ball? All of that could play a big role here. We'll get more into that after the game. Brian, Jerry, and Ray hopefully will be able to drive to the game without being turned around by the NFL.
I'm optimistic about the travel today, yeah.
But in all seriousness,
I think we missed the worst of it.
I hope that we can finally get this game underway, because if they move this to Tuesday, I'm going to have to keep eyes on that while covering Pitt basketball.
It sure sounded like that's not going to happen. So
yeah, thank goodness for that.
The drive will be relatively smooth for us.
Absolutely. He's Brian Batko. I'm Chris Carter, and this is the North Shore Drive podcast. Our full team of Ray, Brian, Jerry will be there in Buffalo covering this game from Orchard Park at Highmark Stadium, getting you all the live reactions. Follow them on Twitter and read their work at post-gazette.com for all the game reactions. We'll be back here Wednesday on the North Shore Drive podcast, talking about this game and what happened here. We'll see you here on the North Shore Drive podcast. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of the North Shore Drive podcast from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. If you watch this video on YouTube, please like the video and subscribe to our channel. For all the sports coverage from the Post-Gazette that we have to offer, visit post-gazette.com.